Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our worship today. If we have any visitors here worshipping with us, do please make yourselves known to us. You're very welcome. Greetings too to those of you who will be joining us on the recording on the website later. We do hope you feel as a part of our service today. As a church, we meet with our sister church, Highworth URC, and as a part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Our worship today is led by our minister, Robert. Our reader this morning is Shelley Morgan, who's also playing the piano, so thank you, Shelley. It's multitasking.
Do you want to preach, Shelley? Just let me know.
And the prayers of intercession are read by David Leadbeater. And finally, there will be tea and coffee in the hall after this service, so please join us for a cup of tea or coffee afterwards. I will now light the candles while we have a moment of peace before our service begins.
Good morning and welcome to our service this day, the first day of the sixth month of the year. And if there's one thing that aggravates my eldest daughter is when I say, oh, June is the month that the days start getting shorter. Because 21st of June, you know, and she hates me when I say that. But she loves it when I say, oh, Queen's Park is open until 9:30 now. Not for long. We gather for worship and celebrate that we are together with those of us present, and as Kerry said, those that will be listening to the service, but also with the people of God everywhere. We come together and rejoice. Psalm 97 for this morning says, the Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. And we will be singing, we will be praying, we will be reflecting on the love of God for his people. All our hymns this morning are from Rejoice and Sing. No, they aren't. No, they aren't. No, they aren't. Good, you passed the test, you passed the test. So two of the hymns are from Rejoice and Sing, and two of the hymns are from Sing Praise. So there we are, 1-1-1-1, nicely in order. The first one is from Rejoice and Sing, and it's number 382, Come Let Us Join Our Cheerful Songs.
Thank you.
I invite you to join in our prayer, and we will end our prayer with the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. We gather for worship in this place, as in so many other places. Your people gather. Some have traveled long distances. Some are away on holiday and won't be here. Some live nearby and come back to Cape Hoppe. And we are here, in that oneness of all your people everywhere. And we give you thanks for this, for the vastness of what the church is, the diversity within the church, the love that we receive and the love we can share, the talents we have been gifted, and the talents that reach out to others, reminding us that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. We give you thanks for the joy that we find as your children, for the comfort that comes to us in times of difficulty, for the love that they can't explain all that goes on, but just simply reminds us that you know our aim and you care for us, that you sit by us, that you put your hands on our shoulders, that you look into our eyes, that you know what we're going through. Thank you. Thank you for all that in this world reminds us of kindness, of beauty, of solidarity, of faithfulness. Even if sometimes we're surprised when these signs come from the unexpected places. We thank you, dear God, that we are part of a long line of those who have come before us, and we want to be faithful to you for those that come after us. We thank you for Messy Church that will be meeting this afternoon. We thank you for what there is to learn still, and what there is in the possibilities of changing what we don't do the best way. Help us to discover the strength of our faith in the midst of the weakness of this world. But we also seek forgiveness. Forgiveness if we look on and are moved by some of the horrible scenes we see, or the despair that comes when we don't know where to turn or what to do next that will make any difference. Forgiveness when we become cynical that, oh, once again it's happening. Forgive us if our faith doesn't hold up to the test. We seek forgiveness even if we're not directly involved in many of the issues. When people use our name to get away with it, for the sins that are committed on our behalf or said to be for our benefit, and we remain silent. For the governments of the world that abuse the trust that's been deposited on them, forgive vanity and pride. Forgive abuse of power forgive us when our silence should be words that confront realities. In your love, dear God, heal us, restore us, make us new, so that together with your people everywhere, the words we say, the thoughts we think, the actions we put into motion, may be each one a stepping stone for the establishment of your kingdom. We are your children, and we say together as your children, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shen will now lead us in the reading from the Bible.
This morning's Bible reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowds joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shelley. This time, we'll sing praise. and it's 290. Lord, make us servants of your peace. Too late that I heard that Wally was away on holiday, but if you looked at the name of the tune, it's something that many people have said many times, oh Wally, Wally. But having heard those words, the prayer before our words this morning, I want to read the following. We don't turn the other cheek because it works. We turn the other cheek because it's right. We don't love our enemies because it's going to be better for us. We love our enemies because our Heavenly Father loves his enemies. We don't take up our cross because at the end of the day we get rewarded. We take up our cross and die to ourselves, because we are following in the steps of Jesus. Amen. The reading we heard this morning from the book of Acts is one of amazing encouragement, telling us about God's presence in the most unexpected of places. And even more, for those people which are in the story who had never read a gospel, they weren't written at the time these things had taken place. They didn't have a story to go back to. It was news for the first time. And here we read about the courageous actions that made the early church and which challenge us today on our journey of faith. Do we make a difference? How do we make a difference in the world today? Do we think that it's other people's responsibility to make a difference? Before we read our story today, a few verses before this, were told of Paul reaching what we would call Greece now, and on the Sabbath going to a place he knows the people meet, on the outskirts of the city. And he tells them about his journey of faith, and this has a deep impact on a woman called Lydia. And Lydia is somebody quite special. As a matter of fact, outside the reading today, the bookends of the reading have Lydia at the beginning and Lydia at the end of it. And Lydia, we are told, is a dealer in purple cloth. That is one of the most expensive things that you could have. Who used purple cloth? The emperor? The rich? The senators? It was something for a particular group of people. It wasn't generally sold. She was a successful businesswoman. There's no other way of describing her. She's very moved by what she hears and is baptized. And then she invites the group of people which she heard speaking to stay at her home. Is such a courageous and audacious step she takes. Because there's one thing that's not in the Bible, not written in the Bible, that we presume. She is the successful businesswoman, and there is no man named round her household. So obviously, or presumably, she would be a widow who's kept the business going. But she was a woman on her own. And she invites these strangers to stay at her house. Now follows the reading Shelley read for us a few moments ago. It's the encounter between Paul and this enslaved girl. And she has a spirit that predicts the future. And she makes her owners so much. She must be quite good at the job, because if you predict the future and fail, nobody will come back. If what she predicts really happens, you get more and more clients, i.e. more and more money. Money that she doesn't keep, money that goes to her owners. And she points to Paul, and she calls out, he is the servant of the Most High. And he is telling you the way to be saved. Now, that's not the message her masters were expecting, and probably not something that Paul was expecting. And then there's a funny moment there, because we're not explained that either. She upsets Paul, she disturbs Paul and company. Why? You'd expect that. Or what they say in the world today, no publicity is bad publicity. So why is he upset by this? But he is. He's troubled. And finally, he speaks to the spirit of divination, and out it goes. Oh dear me. What we don't know is how this will change the girl's life. She's no longer any good to her. Will they take her back to the slave market and hope that somebody else will buy her? But buy her for what? Will she be received or welcomed into the household such as Lydia's, who'd welcomed Paul? We don't know. She suddenly appears and she suddenly disappears. Does the welcome given to Paul and Silas by Lydia in her community set the way for others to say, welcome to our place? Open questions. And open questions even to the church today. How will we welcome those whose chains have been broken? How to help and reach out to those who suddenly are no longer useful to the people they were useful for before? What is very clear is that the owners of this slave girl are livid. From a moment to another, he's lost everything. Can you imagine? They might even have to consider doing an honest day's work after this. They didn't have to. She provided for them, but she was still a slave. So now they will ensure that Paul and Silas and the others will pay for this. So they take them to the marketplace and to the authorities. What happens? The authorities of the town? Well, they accuse them of disturbing the city. They're accused of presenting ways that are not the ways of Rome. And in a short space, we see two very contrasting welcomes. Lydia, stay at my house. The tower, don't you dare come back. As a matter of fact, to the jail you will go. What happens in jail? They don't go quietly. We are told that they go to the deepest of cells, that by a little common grace, in a few minutes, they're in pitch black, they're in the dark. No lights at all, no windows. They sing and pray. That's probably the only thing that they can do. They sing and pray as an expression of their faith. They are supporting each other in this. And it's interestingly because their singing can be heard by other prisoners who must be saying, these guys are really mad. I mean, you don't come to jail and start singing as if you won the lottery or something. It's not appropriate to talk about winning the lottery on a Sunday morning, but whatever good news you got, they support each other. And then there is a massive earthquake. And we are told this opens the doors and breaks the chains. Have you picked up the clue that is there? The jailer presumes, but doesn't take anything for sure. And he decides he is going to kill himself on his own sword, because what would the prisoners do if not escape? And if they had escaped, who would be responsible? Who would be punished? And Paul and Silas say, hey, calm down. We're all here. And that will be the second understanding. First they sing and pray, and then when the doors are open and the chains are fallen off, they stay where they are. Like in prisons, that's not very often that happens if an earthquake opens the doors and the gates, does it? I mean, you'd probably expect them to run out, but they didn't. They stayed there and saved his life. And there we get it. He calls for light. Bring light to the jail. The jailer cares for Paul and Silas. He heals their wounds. And he and his household are baptized. Like Lydia. Interestingly, these two baptisms aren't as a result of a process, but of an instant action. Their actions have shown something different and new. These are courageous actions that both Lydia and the jailer take. They run the risk that could have ended very badly for them. In Lydia's case, she's a woman on her own and taking in strangers. Sent the business to ruin. A jailer who honorably would have taken his life, then heals and cures the wound and invites them to his home. Wouldn't that be going against the emperor and the governor? Wouldn't that be saying, these ruffians, these people who have deprived honorable citizens in our city of their income, are being welcomed by the jailer? These are courageous actions. And these are the actions that inspire us, because they aren't extraordinary things. You know, the simple things of life that happen when something else happens before. They're the consequence of something. Paul and Silas and the prisoners don't escape. Who would have guessed it? Did Lydia go that day, a day that Paul goes, hears him speak, and is known? He'd never been there before. Will he be there next week? There are unplanned actions that show the courage, the love, and the commitment. The question in all this happening in the book of Acts is one we need to ask ourselves. What is the purpose of the church in the world today? And many times this question is answered not by words, but by actions. Really, it's there in action. You get any of the latest statistics in this country, and the attendance of church is rapidly going downhill. In every church. The churches in the countries that Europe, and I'm using the word intentionally, colonize, it's growing. Have we lost our way? Have they found a way we didn't find? The question is, that. What is the purpose of the church today? I mean, yes, coming to worship, being part of a community, sharing a good laugh together, chatting with people at the tea and coffee afterwards, the tea service last Sunday, a wonderful opportunity. But also, if it's that wonderful, it's good to be able to share this with others. See, look, we've got an event that's different. Do you want to come? Oh, I don't go to church. No, this is a tea service. What do you mean a tea service? Yeah, we sit down around the table, 4, 6, chat. We spend 20 minutes singing. Then we spend 20 minutes having a great chit-chat and tea. And there are usually some cakes and biscuits, and then we have 20 minutes singing. Do you want to come along and see for yourself? One of the most courageous and difficult actions for anybody who's not a regular churchgoer, do you know what it is? To go through that front door, to a place that they don't know. I want to tell the negative story. 1982, United Reformed Church in Maidenhead. Maidenhead had, in those days, a roundabout, and on every corner of the roundabout, there was a different church. And they'd all agreed that worship would start at the same time. That was absolutely wonderful. I was staying at my grandmother's before I went up to Edinburgh, and Granny was a Christian science, so I told her she knew she didn't expect me to go to her church. So I went to the URC church. And I went in. And what did I do? What do visitors do when they don't know anybody? Where do they sit? At the back. Yes, there, at the back. There wasn't a hymn book to be seen anywhere. And so service finishes. I knew the hymns. I could sing out of tune quite easily, and I go up to the preacher and I said, let me introduce myself, and he asked me where I came from and all that, and my accent in those days was much more in Argentine English than it was anything else, because I not long ago got to the country, and he said, oh, I'm an elder from another congregation, nobody welcomed me here this morning either. Looked at the watch, went up to the pulpit and started the service. And that's not what should happen. And I use that intentionally as a negative. The next Sunday I went to a Methodist church, which which was on another, right in front, but in another street of the roundabout, and I sat in an empty pew. God forbid you're taking somebody else's place, because you know that you will be told you're sitting in somebody else's place. And before the service started, a woman came and sat beside me and turned to me and said, "I'm Margaret. I'm a member of this church. Who are you?" And she took my address. And on Wednesday, I got a letter from the minister, Leslie Groves. And he said, "If you know the Methodist system, I was preaching at another church. If you ever come back, introduce yourself. What church would you go back to? What church would you go back to?" I went to the Methodist church. Because it was just one day. I wasn't going to be a member there. I was there for a few weeks. Then I would be going up to Edinburgh. And so it wasn't but he gave me the Methodist prayer and service book before I went back to Argentina, signed by it so that I would never forget it. Margaret invited me to their house school. And I say, it just happened to be a bad day for Maidenhead United Reformed Church. I don't expect that happened always. But the difference between that and another church is just by chance. Let us be like Maidenhead Methodist Church. And we are. There's always somebody at the back that says hello to us. There's already somebody that makes sure that we get the weekly news. There's always somebody who will make sure that there's a hymn book by us. And if somebody we don't know sits next to us, so-and-so. Would you like to come and have tea and coffee with us this morning? You can sit with me. Do you need help for getting here at 7 time? Can we arrange transport? Simple things like that. And you say, that's quite different from what Paul and Silas did to the jailer. No, it's not. It's where we are and how we are that makes the difference. If we happen to be in jail, God forbid, would we be a singing community in the jail? And if the chains fell off and the doors were open, what would we do? How do we relate to others? And once we discover that it's in the simple things that we can do, that any of us can do, we hold on to that and we go after it in love and in. It does not mean we will not make mistakes, but it does mean that we have more opportunities of doing something good and nice than if we did nothing. And this is not accusing, this is just saying these are the little things how the church began. This is describing the development of how the early church was made. What we learn is that faithfulness to Jesus' teaching often needs courage. But the courage is saying, I'm not good with people I don't know. They're not good with people they don't know. But if they come through the door and into the building, it takes courage. It also takes courage to speak against those things that we know aren't God's will. I think I've told you many times, the last thing I do before I leave the house to come to church on a Sunday morning, I open my computer and I go out to see what the headlines are. I need to know what's happened since I went to bed that has to come into the church service. The provision of food in Gaza is horrendous because it doesn't exist. To welcome strangers, to reach out in love. The dangers of our time come when we take things for granted. To be silent in the face of injustice. In many parts of the world, this courage is still dangerous. We are called to be an active part in the work of peace. Not just like the candle for Amnesty and the Peace Candle. This week we'll be having welcome sermons. worship and outreach. It's not just a group of people who have nothing better to do. They're helping us understand and live what goes on in the life of the church, given the opportunities. Certainly, Paul and Silas, knowing that there's a community in a village they've never been to before, and changed Lydia's life. And Lydia, I said, was at the end of the story. She again invites them to stay with her. Read the few verses that follow from this afterward. She makes sure that they aren't alone, that they aren't abandoned. Because the story is, remember, they beat Paul before they put him into jail. And then they want to get him out of the way. And says, would you often beat Roman citizens here? And the governor's face goes plain. You don't beat a Roman citizen. They never imagined Paul would be a Roman citizen. He didn't do anything about that. He just knew what it meant in a given circumstance. These are the little things of life that in a particular context become the courageous actions that make the church be what it was. Fullness, renewal, truth, solidarity. As Lydia, as the jailers, Paul and Silas, there are so many today calling out and saying, it's so simple. Let's try. So please, go home and think. Think of what the courageous actions for these times we need to take. And don't be afraid. I'm not giving away any secret. But next Sunday is Pentecost. And to the church to then realize that the Spirit was going to provide what they didn't have, that made the difference. It still does. To God be the glory. So that we may be able to glorify God in the community of the faithful. Amen. Rejoice and sing. Yes, rejoice and sing. 329. So it's the first two and the last three verses. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. There's a spirit in the air telling Christians everywhere, praise the love that Christ revealed, living, working in our world. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. Share what we have set apart for the time of the offering, and at the dedication of the offering, we will also dedicate what's in the box for the food collection. God we have received, and in your love we share. We dedicate the offering that is in the plate and what you give in different ways, together what is in the box for the food collective, that our giving, together with the giving of many, may show the world that sharing is the way forward. Bless those who have to decide how all this is used, so that in every way your name is proclaimed. Amen. And we share the words of the grace today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. By the way, have you noticed the flower arrangement today? Before you leave, take a look at it. It's quite inspiring. But the other way, I was going to say, when are not the flower arrangements at Emmanuel inspiring in one way or another? Oh, don't say she hates me, Nate. But we all know who she is.
Do you know?
Oh, yes, she's sitting over there. She's one of the ladies dressed over there that's got a very shiny necklace on her. But don't say the name. But look at the flowers, the details, and when any boy comes into a man, a welcome is wonderful. And the flowers, if somebody has done an arrangement of flowers, whatever they are always stunning and make such a big difference. It is another sign of simple act that touches people's lives. David Edgerton will now lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Just before I lead us in the intercessions, Janet and I last Monday were travelling back from Scotland and we called in at Glasgow upon to see Anne Taylor. A number of you will remember, I sure, Anne and Bob Taylor, who were members of this church and will worship with us for quite a time. Bob worked for Halco, and when he retired, they moved up to Scotland to be with their daughter. Unfortunately, Bob died some years back, and Anne is now in a care home in the north of Glasgow. She wanted to be remembered to everybody who knew her. She keeps up to date with Emmanuel because we send every month a copy of the weekly news and the prayer diary to her, which she really appreciates, because she said, I recognise some names. And sometimes I can put a face to them. And it's like us all, it's getting on. And I would like us to hold in our prayers her and her family when we pray. So to our prayers of intercession. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please reply, hear our prayer. Almighty God, when the trials of life overwhelm us, forgive us if we blame you or others for our troubles. Teach us to find you in storms of life and give us the faith to believe that you will bring us calm and peace. Everlasting God, we pray for your church here at Emmanuel, the church throughout the partnership of the Old Town, and our work to create a community that welcomes everyone and provides a refuge for those who feel threatened or alone. We pray also for the new eldership of Emmanuel. Give them guidance and wisdom in all they do for your family within and outside the church and beyond. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, as we see the brokenness of our world, we pray for healing among the nations. for fair shares for all, for food where there is hunger, for freedom where there is oppression, for joy where there is pain, that your love may bring peace to all your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the joy of human love and for those among whom we live and work. We especially pray for our friends and families who do not know you or whose faith has been shaken. Help them to see that we have an anchor that keeps us steadfast. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, when our lives feel desolate through illness, help us to hear your holy word. For by that word, Jesus calmed the storm and made people whole. We pray for those who seek our prayers. Help them to triumph and put their trust in you and in acceptance of those trying to help. Loving God, we pray for those saddened by death of someone close to them and whose anniversaries they recall. Help them experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the church family. And we take a moment, God, to bring our personal prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, help us to know that the one who calmed the waves on the Sea of Galilee is present with us always, that he cares for us and can calm the waves of our lives. Help us to trust more fully and more deeply in you in all that we are involved in the days to come. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, David. While the prayers were said, I just want to share with you two small things that are very important. Saturday at 6:30 in the evening, the defibrillator had to be used, the one the church has out there. To me, it was the first time, and then this morning I woke in, I'm talking about this, and I heard it's the fourth time it's being used, which is amazing. We hope that by Monday it will be back in place. It's not there now. But it's just something that came from a donation that felt that that was something important to have, and it's already being used four times. Small little thing, a courageous decision, but definitely if you're on the receiving end of it, you value what a defibrillator can do. And the other thing is that on Wednesday at 1 o'clock in Highworth, one of our members, Annie Crabtree, she will, sadly, has lost her son, Paul, who died, and the service for Paul will be taking place. And I just want to, if you have a time, to remember Annie and the family, and Paul's family, the children, smallish children, just think of that connection we have with the church in Highwood and somebody going through, as David just said, people who have lost loved ones and are struggling. Our closing hymn is from Sing Praise. It's hymn 257, and Shelley has chosen a different tune from what's here. So she'll play it, go through it once, and then we will sing the hymn. Thank you. faraway places who have heard the same promise. We are not alone, and we encourage each other. And as part of that encouragement, may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, with the people of God everywhere, this day and forevermore.